Just quickly look at this passage. So if you have your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're just going to look at these five verses very quickly. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Now this word, charge, is an interesting word, by the way. It has everything to do with witness, a testimony. And then if you put it in the context, I give you a testimony, I give you a witness, therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. What is this? This is a solemn. It is very much a solemn pledge on his part. He's saying, listen, it is the concept of what we do in our court system. When they ask you to swear upon the Bible that you tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. He was saying that to a man who obviously, he was saying this to Timothy, who he had discipled for years. Timothy knew the deep commitment that Paul had to the Lord Jesus Christ and telling the truth. And yet, at this point, he stresses, I am making a witness. I am giving you my testimony. This is a solemn testimony before God himself. Listen up. That's how important it was to him. You know what it says to me? He goes on to say, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. What is he saying? He is saying that yes, death is imminent, but you know what is even more demanding of my attention? He was saying is that the fact that I'm going to appear before the Lord. And the Lord is going to give an account of my, I have to give an account of my time. And when I read that, I cannot think of the words careful and faithful. When I think about that, that I have to appear before the Lord is to be careful and faithful. Careful to do what I ought to do the way it ought to be done, and faithful not to give up or to come up short. Not to pull up athletics and when you're running a race. I have more than, in my high school days, ran in a lot of competitive situations. But more than once you saw people that were leading in these races, these longer distance run, and they would give up in the last 100 yards. They might lead the whole mile, you know, and just, or in a cross country, they might have led for 2 miles, 3 miles. But then for some reason, some people give in right at the last. And someone else overtakes them. Well, we need to be careful. We don't do that in our lives. Our culture is working against us. Our culture says you ought to work really hard when you're younger, store up treasures, by the way, in earth, earthly treasures. And then when you get to be a certain age, you ought to just, you ought to be sitting on the beach. You ought to be out on the golf course. You ought to just be enjoying life. I do not see that in Scripture. Scripture does not talk about that at all. This is a very serious problem we have in our culture. People are just shutting down and enjoying themselves. They're becoming total narcissists. Dangerous situation. I fear for people when I know that that's what they're doing with their life. It is foolish. I have no desire to just set aside everything and start vacationing indefinitely. That is not life, because we're not here for our pleasure. We're here to serve our Lord. And that just runs in such contrast. And the assets that we accumulate are not our assets. We are stewards. They ought to be invested in God's work. Somehow or another, my clicker is not working again here. Can you move to the next? Didn't want to do that. That was a reveal slide. If you'd go back there a second, thank you. Can you go to the next one or not? Okay, we don't have to fear others. That's what it says. Because you know what? In the end, what others say and what others are doing doesn't matter. That's the point. You're going to be. You're doing it for an audience of one, and that's the Lord. And we're not to serve ourselves. We don't have to worry about taking care of ourselves. That's not our role. He said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We do not have to fear what man, he has taken on that role, yet we so readily grab it ourselves. Now go on to verse 2. I preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. First of all, the word preach. There are several words in the New Testament. In light of the time, I'll only deal with what this particular word means. This word means to proclaim. It's to herald is another word. Now that is a usage. The word herald isn't even used. You know, they have the Boston Herald. Why do they name the paper the Boston Herald? Well, it is the concept, I'm sure, in the name was that they were going to proclaim what's going on. Preach the word. That's the emphasis. But the preach means herald. It means to declare the truth loudly and boldly. In Paul's day, a king or a ruler would have a herald. It would be an individual who is assigned to deliver the message. They didn't have Twitter, and they didn't have email, and they didn't have Fox News and CNN. So how did they get the word out? They had designated individuals that were heralds, and they went out, and they would say, hear ye, and they would read what the king or the ruler was declaring. Now, here is an important truth that when I read this passage, my heart is stirred by it. It's not the role of an ambassador to negotiate. You know, it is the role of an ambassador to negotiate, but that's not what he is calling us here. He is talking about the responsibility to declare the message as God has given it. We are not to negotiate it. We're not to twist it. We're not to manipulate it. It is to just state it clearly. And in this day and age, it's easy to make excuses why this isn't or that isn't the right setting to talk about Jesus. But I am telling you, be careful with this. Every one of us who is a genuine believer said has been commanded to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. It's easy to make excuses. Well, it wasn't the right setting. It would have become offensive or it. We need to instead be focusing on utilizing our opportunities. I have purposed over the last several weeks to really specifically say, all right, each encounter with an individual is an opportunity for me to be the Lord's ambassador in the positive sense, delivering the word in the herald concept of it. And I've looked for those. I have not looked for reasons why I will not talk to people about Jesus Christ. I have said, is there a window? And if the window is cracked open, I am purposing to do what I can to herald the message. And that is exactly the teaching of this passage. He says, be ready in season and out of season. And what does the out of season imply? It isn't always the right situation. It isn't always perfect. But we are always to be pointing people to Jesus. Do you get the difference? I think that's the emphasis of in season and out of season. Sometimes it's easier than others. Sometimes it seems like it just absolutely fits, when other times it doesn't quite so fit. But we still need to be pointing people to Jesus. The third verse. And by the way, this one, there's a lot more to it. This convince, rebuke, and exhort. I just don't have time to deal with it. But convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. This says we don't give up on it. And with teaching, we're teaching them the word. The word, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to his word. The word is what we got to deliver to them. They can receive it or reject it. That's true. But we have the responsibility to deliver it. This rebuke is that sometimes we have to say, you know, that's not right. And exhort them, say, listen, it is time to do the right thing. Get over yourself. Do the right thing. Okay, now we're up here. I'll back up here. For the time will come when you will not endure sound doctrine. Okay. Now, the time will come when they, who is they? It is society. It is the people of our world. There's going to be a time when they will not endure, they will not put up with sound teaching of the Word of God. but according to their own desires. In other words, they're going to want to change, modify, adjust the message so it fits what their narcissistic heart wants. Because they have itching ears. That's a way of saying they want to hear, they're tired of the gospel. It doesn't really help anymore. I need something more. Itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Heap up for themselves. In other words, they're going to promote. They're going to promote leaders and teachers and talk about them and raise them up and hold them up and get to a point where you would think they're on worshiping the leaders. And then he says, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. People will not want to hear healthy doctrine. Does that sound familiar like today? You ever listen to the Christian television programs? I honestly haven't listened to them for a long time, but a year or two ago, I did spend some time listening to all of the popular speakers. I'll tell you, it was hard to, you just got, in some respects, it was very good exercise because it really stirred my heart, not in a positive way. I got infuriated on the way they emotionally positioned falsehood. And people were so sucked into it and so committed to it. It was just, it's really tragic. Many will have carnal desires for religious novelties. In other words, they'll have special things that they'll raise up. Wait, you can't find it in Scripture as a significant issue. And all of a sudden, it becomes the main event. And if you don't do this, then you're not a believer. Do you get my point? That's exactly what the Apostle Paul was warning Timothy. That's where humanity is headed. I honestly believe we are living in the day where it has arrived. Especially in our nation. Many will accumulate teachers who satisfy their cravings. They'll gather and they'll support people that are saying what they want. That they want to hear that if they just do this and this and this, they're going to be rich. And I'm not talking about rich spiritually, they're going to be rich financially. And these people are able to draw massive crowds because they get people all excited, but I can do this, I can do this, I can be rich! It's really a tragic day. It has a lot to do with the condition of our nation. Because much of what it professes to be Christianity is absolutely engulfed in this type of thought process. The fact that a preacher has a large congregation may not always be a sign that he is preaching the truth. It may be in some situations because it's a wonderful thing to hear great preachers. And I love to listen to great preachers. I love to listen. Some of the men that are on the radio are tremendous teachers of the word. And I understand why they would gather large crowds because you'll learn a lot when you're listening to preaching. But many of the others who are gathering large crowds, you cannot tie their message to the word. And that is not only troubling, it's frightening for all the people that are committed to the cause. He or she may be tickling people's itchy ears, and that's why they're gathering the crowds. The last verse says, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions. Watchful? What does watchful imply? Don't we all know it? It means keep our eyes open. You know, it is the way you are, especially if you live in North Minneapolis, if you hear a loud bang outside your house. You know, you're watchful. You're saying, I better pay attention. You might have been doing something else, but you'll stop and you'll pay attention because you say, you know what? It is in my best interest, it's in my family's best interest that I be on full alert right now until I figure out what's going on. That's watchful. That's a good thing. It says be watchful in how many things? In all things that are going on. Let me warn us, that would include be watchful how you handle your own personal finances even though no one else knows about it. How are you spending these things? How are you spending your time? What are you watching at night when no one else might know, or maybe just your wife or somebody, just a small group? What? Just be watchful. This is an evil day. It's easy to get caught up in bad things. And then it says, endure afflictions. What's the message? I'll tell you, the message is clear, and I could give probably 20 verses that are very clearly ensuring the same thing. In this world, you as a believer should expect tribulation, not be surprised by it. If you're living for Christ, it shouldn't be easy all the time, because it's inconsistent with what he warned. We're in a world that is lost. And do the work of what? An evangelist. Every one of us has the responsibility to do what we can to share the gospel. And then this one is one of the most challenging to me. Fulfill your ministry. Because in reality, this word fulfill means that you completed what you're supposed to do. And sometimes, for me, that it sometimes gets hard to measure. What is it to look like when I have fulfilled my ministry? I'll tell you what, that is in a lot of respects an abstract question that we can only answer for ourselves. Another cannot answer it for you, because it's a testimony of your spirit tying in with the Spirit of God that says, this is right. Be watchful, endure, do the work of evangelists, fulfill your ministry. I want to close with one last thought. What should be our perspective? If the ministry we feel called to seems impossible to accomplish at a certain time, what's the answer to that? Here's why I'm saying that. Hundreds and hundreds of Christians start off great and really go down a path and are really working on it. And then they get discouraged. And what do they do when they get discouraged? Many quit. What should be our perspective if the ministry we feel called to seems impossible to accomplish at a certain time? It's answered in this verse. Endure and fulfill your ministry. There's no exit from this. If God has called us to do it, even if the going is hard, even if it seems less fruitful than you could ever imagine it would be, you should look at how you're doing. You ought to be watchful to say, am I doing it the best way I can? Am I prayerfully pursuing this? Is there any sin in me that I need to confess? We ought to be always doing those things, but never quit. Identify what God would have each one of us who knows Jesus Christ. If you do not know what God has called you to do, you ought to be praying for it all the time. And you ought to invest yourself, first of all, and as you're looking for that, invest yourself in a couple items. Loving the Lord with all your heart and loving your neighbor as yourself, serve others. And God will reveal what he wants for you to do. He'll call you. He'll give you a piece that this is it. Heavenly Father, I pray that each one of us might be challenged as we think about this passage. I pray that we might all